Hi there, it's Aubrey from Be the Evidence podcast. Susan, Grace, and I are so grateful that you are here, that you're tuning in, that you're showing up, that you're listening, that maybe this podcast is spurring conversation and contemplation in your worlds. That is a tremendous honor for us to be a part of. Thank you, sincerely. Before we get into the podcast, just wanted to let you know a couple of things. Susan and I run a community platform at www.betheevidence.live. It is a membership site where individuals and members get access to a lot more goodies than are just offered on our podcast. So after every podcast, Susan and I record a 12 sun sign astrology forecast with tarot cards for everybody based upon the themes that come up in our podcast. That's only accessible if you're a member. On top of that, what you find in the membership site is presence practices that are pertinent to the shifting energies. There are weekly live calls. There are pop-up calls that can be in the spur of moment of, hey, this is shifting. Let's dissect a conversation around it. Or there are tarot cards where everybody can pop up and get a tarot card pulled for them. There's a lot going on in BeTheEvidence.live, and it's truly a platform to help uplift, motivate, and center and ground all of us as we move through these shifting energies throughout 2019 and into 2020, because the reality is we all need a little bit of help. And so if that's something that speaks to you, know that we are here and we would love to see you at our next live call, which happens weekly. If that is of interest, please go and check out www.betheevidence.live. And now here's the podcast. Heyo, new week.
Yes.
Here we are.
I feel good about this week.
Me too.
It was kind of that the moon went through in the last week. The moon went through Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. That moon was really powerful. It went through all kinds of stuff. It went through Black Moon, Lilith, and Sun, obviously at the new moon, and then Mercury and Neptune and Chiron and Mars and Uranus. I mean, it was just like really intense. Like people were spinning out. Things were popping. Anxiety was high. Irritability was high. The moon has just clicked into Taurus overnight. We're recording on Monday, the 11th. The moon has clicked into Taurus. We're still not out of the woods yet because Chiron is still at 29 Pisces for, let's see, 7 more days. We're getting there. We're getting close. And then Mars gets off of Uranus Thursday, mm-hmm. but it'll cross over Uranus, obviously, at 29 degrees the day before on Wednesday. So it's still kind of gnarly, but I think the moon in Taurus is offering some stabilization. And I think that it's important under this moon to consider really honestly what you find important about your own life. Depends on where this happens in your chart, okay? So in the extended for the BeTheEvidence.live members, we'll take that Taurus moon and apply it to all 12 signs so that you'll be able to see how this specifically applies to you. But generally speaking, what is important to you? What do you want to have manifest for yourself and for your life and for the world around you? And then you're going to have to raise your self-worth up to that. So it's not the reverse. It's not, well, given how shitty I feel about myself, this is probably all that's possible. Hang on a second. What do you want to be possible? And then raise your self-worth and your healing up to that.
Oh, I mean, that requires a big leap.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a really big leap to look at all of the ways that we have impacted and impeded our own self-worth and our own ability to love ourselves. Right. And to not go into the judgment, into the lashing out, into the reaction, but to really be able to sit with ourselves as if we were an observer and recognize, oh, I've been withholding love a little bit in these areas. And here's where I would like to love myself more. Here's where I would like to believe that I am worthy. I'm inherently worthy of ease in my life. I'm inherently worthy of being loved. I'm inherently worthy of abundance in whatever manners those come into my world. And trusting that those are not just like mantras to be spoken, but they're actual truth statements that we can embody and then choose from there.
It's you know, we've talked about it before. I'm surprised by how uncomfortable liberation is. Mm-hmm. Of raising your self-worth past what you've thought before, of opening up to possibility past what you've seen so far, of being willing to go your own way and not taking votes and asking for permission. When people go, what the hell are you doing? Right. Be able to say, I'm doing what I want is what I'm doing, and just keep moving. It's exposing. It's vulnerable.
It's extreme. I mean, I keep sitting with that, like, feeling of, if you have a tattoo, when you get a tattoo, they cover it up, right? And it's under this gauze, and it's like covered in saran wrap and like all of the good ointments. And then the first time you take it, the gauze and the covering off, it feels so raw and exposed and slightly uncomfortable as the air hits it. It's like that sensation in my body of like, it feels good because you know you're healing and you know like you're coming, you're showing this work that you have had done, right? Like you're standing in a way that you did not stand previously. And then there's also just like this, like that feeling of sucking your breath in of like, oh, it's a lot. At once.
Yeah. Because when we're exiting out of going by old traditions, old rules, old expectations, society norms, things that have stood the test of time so far, but aren't anymore. Mm-hmm. When you're going outside of that, there's fear of attack. Yeah. There's fear that you're doing it wrong. There's no examples to follow except your own. You're having to follow your own instincts. You have to start with being on your own side and then open up to everything else, being able to come in or not, depending on your boundaries. It's brand new. And the moon in Taurus now, really thinking about what's important to you, what's really important to you, and allowing yourself to go there. These things are important to me. And then I'm going to raise my self-worth up to it. This is a foreshadow. Mars is going to come in here next on Thursday. Uranus is going to come in here in March. And then we're going to be here for 8 years of completely innovating what we find important about life. Some people are going to start growing food. Some people are going to get roll up their sleeves and overhaul the healthcare system. Some people are going to get into brand new relationships that surprise them to the point where they have to raise it, all of it across the board. You're going to have to raise your self-worth past the point where you think it's sane. Because your self-worth has been in a line, has been in alignment with things that have already crumbled so far. So if you're going to be have your self-worth in alignment with what's new, it's a leap. You're going to go, oh shit, we're going this high? Yep, we're going this high.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting to me about like that leap is that when you're in the process of it, the onlookers are like, oh shit, are they going to make it? No, you're going to fall down. They're going to hold on, right? Like you have this sensation of people watching you going, hold on, don't do it. And I think it's like this real interesting awareness for me is like as we've talked about, it's extremely vulnerable, way more vulnerable than I could have ever imagined or articulated ahead of time. And then also behind that is the amount of judgment of like other people's opinions that want to come in around that, the systematic opinions of all the reasons why you shouldn't believe in your self-worth, all the reasons why you shouldn't make those leaps, and how it's like this energy of just constantly brushing your shoulders off of like, I keep getting like, so I live in the mountains in the South, and we have, they're called little bugs called no-see-ums, but they end up right in your eyes. So you're constantly like just swatting at what looks like thin air, but it's truly something that's trying to attack your vision. And it feels like that type of energy where you're constantly having to move away things that are being projected at you that are part of the old storyline of why you didn't believe in your own self-worth, why you didn't choose to leap, and using that almost as like a springboard, as a trampoline to further propel your leap forward.
And personally, I find that to be a grave injustice that anyone has ever been told, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You can't handle it. You can't heal enough. You can't function well. You can't do it. If something is really important to you and you've got something in your head going, I'm not good enough for that. Fuck that shit. Yes, you are. You might have some healing to do. You might need to clean out some old messaging. You might need to sew up an old hurt that you've been hanging on to that's been festering for a while and you haven't been bringing any kind of elixir to it. Yeah, you might have to do some repair work to support you raising your self-worth. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's human. That's being alive, of constantly evaluating, where am I? What needs my attention? What have I been ignoring? Because what I'm reaching for lights me up. It's important to me. And I want to be able to embrace it and not have old messaging from namely patriarchy that says, I can't have that or I'm not good enough.
Yeah, I think that piece about like the humanistic aspect of it, right? Of like being willing to sit with how it's unfolding and ever changing at any moment, and how there are stories that come up, how you will repeat patterns, how I repeat patterns, and then all of a sudden look around and go, oh shit, that was part of my storyline of how I was unworthy or how I'm unlovable. That's not what I want to do anymore. All right, let me attend to it. And I'm going to sew it up. I'm going to try to do it different. And the next time I'm triggered or the next time I go into response, I'm going to respond differently. And to recognize that, like, it's just like that, what the North Node being in Cancer, it's that level of care and concern for yourself, of recognizing that those patterns are coming up because, like, the brain sequencing has been firing in the same direction over and over and over and over again. We're trying to do new wiring, which means that we're going to have to continuously pivot. We're going to have to continuously shift. And that does not cement that story of being unworthy into place. What it does is it opens up this bigger storyline of, I'm a human and life is messy and chaotic and I am stumbling and moving through it with the greatest of ease that I can possibly give myself. Like that type of depth of care.
It's a coupling too. Mm-hmm. So you're an individuation of a human. Absolutely. Right. You also represent consciousness itself.
Right.
If consciousness itself is saying, I'm not good enough, I don't know about, my mind works in weird ways, but I sometimes I can have compassion for consciousness before I can have compassion for myself.
Right.
If I'm an individuation of consciousness and I'm going, I'm probably not good enough, then I think of consciousness going, why are you thinking that? Right. That's not true. Why are you doing that? Why are you focusing on, I'm probably not good enough? I've been talking about this a lot in my everyday life about how what you focus on is what's going to materialize. Right. If you focus on, I'm not good enough, you're going to stay right there. It's exactly what you're going to get.
Yep.
It's Chiron in Pisces is trying to get us to let go and release from old hurts. And in many cases, especially for Chiron in Pisces people, if you were born with Chiron in Pisces, it's ancient, it's karmic hurt that you're trying to let go of. And for some people, I'm noticing, some people have a real hard time letting go of old hurts. Mm-hmm. It can be because you want justice. It can be because you've identified yourself so strongly with that hurt that you don't know how to operate otherwise. It can be that you don't know how to move past, oh God, this hurts. Okay, yes, it does hurt. What are you gonna do about it? And I think that the shortest path to doing something about it is the trine into North Node in Cancer. Like you just said, you have deep compassion for yourself to the point where you go, hey, are you okay? Mm-hmm. What do you need? And give yourself that.
Yep.
I think sometimes what you need is other people. You can't do everything in isolation. It's really important, I think, to repair our relationship with ourselves and how we've been mean to ourselves and we haven't been on our own side. But I personally, in my everyday life, I'm taking the mirroring of other people very seriously. Yep. When people are mirroring back to me who I am or how I'm behaving or how I'm coming across, I'm stopping for a second going, whoa, I didn't realize I was still doing that. Okay, so stop. Mm-hmm. Stop doing that. You are operating in an old hurt that does not exist anymore.
Right.
Stop doing that. Do a new, go a new way. Go in a healed way. Go in a higher way. Go in a peaceful way. Change. You can change. You can morph.
You can morph, and I think that there's such beauty. I mean, this is why infants need to be touched, right? Like, from a humanistic perspective, we desire and crave and need community around us. Like I was telling you prior to getting on this podcast, I've been reading for my schoolwork, and it's all about like community relationships right now, social relationships, and how when you have social relationships, it's an amazing predictor for living longer lives, having less disease, experiencing less loneliness, less depression, right? So obviously from a human perspective, we need this type of like social interaction. And I think it's beyond just like, oh, I need somebody to hold my hand. I think what you're pointing at is really fascinating, is like, we need other people to show us our blind spots because we can't adequately see them ourselves. And that doesn't discount the amount of work that we all do personally on ourselves. But having another person in front of you to hold up a mirror, or having a group of people in front of you to hold up a mirror, allows you to really polish up what you're seeing in a different way, right? You can only do so much on your own, but you're still gonna be standing so close to that mirror that you can't see the whole picture.
Right, and so why would you do that? Why would you invite mirrors to be in front of you? Why would you do that? Because there's a whole lot of calm in working on your shit by yourself.
Oh yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, it's peaceful.
Everyone leave me alone, yeah.
You got everything under control, it's all contained the way you want to approach it. Like, I mean, it's a lot more peaceful in a lot of ways.
So why would you engage mirrors? And I think it's because the wounds that you can't get to, the mm-hmm. wounds that you can't see without a mirror still hurt. They hurt. I don't know how many times I've thought, I need a really good mirror to stay in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look away. I don't want to look away from the mirror, but I'm going to have to have mirrors that are like, I'm going to stand right here.
Right.
I'm going to stand right here. And you're going to look at yourself. God, that triggers something ancient in me.
Yeah.
I happen to have a very in my bones kind of feeling of how I started this karmic cycle. And it started with me not being willing to look at myself in the mirror, mm-hmm. that I would rather go through punishment, torture, having some kind of debt to pay,
right.
sacrificing myself. I would rather do that than to stand in front of a mirror and look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm coming full circle where I'm inviting a mirror again.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard, really hard, but I can't look away. I mean, I think that I literally cannot. If I tried to look away, I couldn't.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think it's a representation of how we normalized projections, how we normalized it's unsafe to look at ourselves. So here, somebody look at me and tell me what I'm worth. Somebody else tell me where my problems are. Somebody else tell me what I can have, what I have to release, right? Like, all the ways that we've given away our power, our voice, our knowing, and then to be in, back in like this karmic loop, the infinity sign, right? Of like standing in front of our mirror because we've asked for it to come in front of us and knowing that we do not want to look away anymore. And that is going to require us to look at all of the places where we've been reactive, where we've been in projection, where we've been just like triggered and pulling the trigger repeatedly.
That projection thing, it's so much more comfortable to look at, like, here's all the ways you guys are fucking up.
Right.
That's completely. Easy. That's easy. Point. But when you stop for a second and go, wait, I think I'm talking to myself.
Right.
I think I'm talking to myself right now. I think I do that. Oh my
this
God.
This is a huge lesson. I've been sitting with this a lot lately about like, the piece of I've projected my own healing onto other people. Well, I just need them to give me more time. If they gave me more time, then I would feel worthy. I would feel loved. Like, this is the whole problem. They're not giving me enough time. And meanwhile, I have not, I'm just now in this place of like, how much time are you giving yourself?
Right.
Oh, you haven't sat with yourself. You haven't gone out walking in the woods. You didn't meditate. You haven't been doing your artwork. You haven't been journaling. You didn't talk to any of your friends. But what'd you do? You projected that you needed somebody else to fill your needs. Like, that is really a place of discomfort to sit with, like, placing your own self-care and deep healing in order for you to leap beyond what you currently think your worth is and reclaim it and say, actually, it's not because of anybody else. This is because I haven't been willing to sit with myself.
See, that's the nuance of mirroring.
Right.
Is when you have something mirrored back to you, rather than going, oh no, that's just your shit, it's not mine.
Right.
It's you going, oh fuck, I'm looking in a mirror.
Right. Ah!
And then you have to go do something about it. Right. Not put it on the mirror to fix it for you. The mirror ain't going to fix it for you. The mirror is just a mirror.
Exactly.
You got to go back to yourself and be like, oh God.
Yeah.
I got something to work through. Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The mirror is not the fixer.
Mm-mm. So there's how you leap, right?
It's so uncomfortable. I'm trembling right now. I'm so uncomfortable right now just talking about it. Ugh.
Because who wants to look at their shit in that manner? I mean, it's so much easier to be like, can you believe this MF-er again? Like, they're not holding up. They're not talking to me. Are you listening to your own thoughts?
Right.
When was the last time you listened to your own thoughts in your head? Of course, nobody else is listening to you. You aren't listening to yourself.
Yes, like, it's a mirror. You're looking in a mirror.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, of course, to be like, okay, well, then how do I elevate my self-worth from there? You have to lean into that mirror, and you have to be willing to be like, oh, man, I let a bunch of dust and grime and dirt accumulate here. And now I'm willing to clean it off so I can see how I go beyond this. So yes,
that's the point. Why would you do that? Why would you get out your cleaning supplies and clean off the dirt and grime? Why would you do that? And I think it's because we're being called forward. We're being called towards things that are meant for us, that we've been walking towards it and they've been walking towards us for millennia. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. But you can absolutely sabotage yourself out of it. You've got to clean up. You've got to clean off the old. Get it off. Get it off. Get it off.